Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hello, it's the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio. I'm Johnny Burrow, and we've got lots to get our teeth into. Don't worry, we'll be talking Rafa, not least because the producer is a Newcastle fan. I can see the production booth slowly just filling up with his tears. It's been a long day. We will get him through it. But before that, we've got to turn our attentions to Manchester United, as we so often do, because they are everywhere in the back pages today. Here's one. If Solskjaer struggles, if he really struggles for the first couple of months next season, could we see Rafa Benitez go there just as a safe pair of hands? He did it at Chelsea. He was very, very unloved at Stamford Bridge. But this is a guy with a just incredible CV. Not just the wonderful job he's done at Newcastle, not just that sensational Champions League win with Liverpool. He's been boss of Napoli, boss of Real Madrid, boss of Chelsea. This is what Mike Ashley has allowed to walk away from the football club. But on other United-related fronts, we're hearing that United will trigger a 12-month extension clause in Marcus Rashford's contract amid fears that the 21-year-old England striker may leave when his current deal expires next summer. Well, if they let him get within, say, 6 months of his contract expiring, I have absolutely no doubt that Rashford would have no shortage of suitors. And I'm a big fan of Marcus Rashford's, but is it getting to a point now where we have to ask how good he actually is? Because he's older than Mbappe, he's the same age as the likes of Luka Jovic, João Felix. Are we overrating him because he's English? We'll be asking Dom Booth of the Manchester Evening News. And we'll also be looking at Romelu Lukaku. The Gazzetta dello Sport is reporting that Inter Milan want him, but they're still €25 million short of Manchester United's valuation. And in order to get him, they'll need to shift Mauro Icardi. We'll be turning our attentions to La Liga as well, because from a United point of view, we're hearing that Real Madrid have made Paul Pogba their number one target. Now, one of the most interesting things about the transfer rumour mill, once we've decided which of these deals we can believe, remember, that's the point of the show, to cut through the noise. We're going to work out which of these deals have legs. If, for example, Pogba to Real Madrid really could happen, the fascinating thing is the impact that that then has on other deals in the market. So, if Pogba goes to Real Madrid, if he's their man, if he's the one they really want, does that mean that Tottenham Hotspur are safe in terms of Real Madrid's pursuit of Christian Eriksen? I think many Spurs fans will certainly be hoping so. And would it then become more likely that other Real Madrid attacking midfielders, the likes of Dani Ceballos, Marco Asensio, who've both been linked with Spurs, by the way, does it make it more likely that they could leave? Does it make it more likely that James Rodriguez could be on his way to the Premier League? All of these things affect each other. We'll be talking Tottenham more broadly. Paris Saint-Germain have reportedly withdrawn from the race for Tanguy Ndombele. That's coming from France Football. That's a fairly reputable source. I suspect that's true. This one has got legs. This has been running for weeks and weeks. The transfer valuation isn't really changing. There are other clubs' names coming and then going again pretty quickly. We heard rumours of a bid from Juve. That disappeared. We heard rumours of interest from City. That disappeared. Likewise, now PSG. The only name that has been there consistently is Tottenham Hotspur. I think they're going to get him. And I tell you what, I think it's going to be a fantastic signing to boot. And he might not be the only player to turn up at the new stadium in the next couple of weeks. It's now looking like the deal for Leeds United's teenage winger Jack Clarke is going to happen. We'll be asking Jamie Brown of the Daily Hotspur whether that's one to get excited about for Spurs fans. Could he be the next Dele Alli? But we've got to talk Newcastle and we've got to talk Rafa, because any Newcastle fan will be talking to Love Sport's very own Laurie Callas, who is our authority on all things Newcastle, in just a moment's time. But I think the vast majority of Newcastle fans will recognise this for what it is, which is gross mismanagement of a football club by its owner. We've seen a comparable thing at Charlton. Both clubs, and important to note that Charlton are managing to hang on to Lee Bowyer, by the way, but both clubs have had a manager doing an exceptional job. To be honest, an extraordinary job, going far, far above what could reasonably be expected of them when they took over, and by the way, beyond what could be expected of their current crop of players. And instead of doing what any rational person would do, certainly what any football fan would do, and recognising that talent, tying them down to a multi-year contract and saying, listen, this is where your future is, you are staying here. What do? They're complacent, they're stingy, frankly, because they're worried about recognising that talent and recognising that talent costs money in the modern market, and they end up losing managers. What happens now for Newcastle? What happens? Because they might get a takeover by a multi-million pound owner. Who knows? Possibly. It could happen. They might, as a result, bring in some sort of glitzy Conte-style manager. It won't be Conte, but, you know, a major European great. Or they might not. Or they might sign Alan Pardew again. They might sign Mark Hughes. They might sign Tony Pulis. We can get Alan Kerbishley. We can go down the list of English managers who go to clubs down the bottom end of the table who are struggling. What happens then? Do they end up back in the Championship? They finally seem to have changed the culture. They spent that club record fee, that $25 million on Miguel Almirón, who, by the way, for Paraguay, has looked like the best player at the Copa America so far. It felt like Ashley finally, after years in charge, was starting to get it, to go, you know what, I do need to put a bit of money back in. You're a businessman, Mike. You know far more about any of this stuff than I do. And yet you can't recognise in basic financial terms that the way you make your asset, Newcastle United, more valuable is by getting them higher in the Premier League table. That's not complicated. My four-year-old cousin gets that. How likely are you to get them up there without your manager? Pretty much impossible. And with that Charlton comparison, are we getting to a point in modern football now where owners just don't care? They really don't care. Are they thinking too financially? Because we know it's a business. I'm not naive enough to say it isn't. I'm not naive enough to say that these aren't financial decisions. But at the point where people are putting their financial gain, which is what this is, above the success of a football club, it's nothing short of a disgrace. And I can see a Newcastle fan in front of me through the glass. I thought I had never seen heartbreak in a person. You know, you see your mate 3 weeks after a breakup. He looks a bit sad. You go, are you all right, mate? He goes, yeah, I'm fine. We'll get over it. This is different. This is pain on a really, really, really deep-seated level. Mike Ashley is responsible for that pain. I think this is incredibly sad for all those Newcastle fans. Incredibly sad for Rafa as well, because he loved that club. He liked that city. And I do apologise, they all liked him as well. But we've got transfer deals to talk about, not just on the Newcastle front. They can still, by the way, make some handy signings and have a good year. Let's not jump to conclusions. I'm really interested by this Lukaku situation from two different points of view, right? The first is Inter Milan being linked with spending tens and tens of millions on a striker who many people in the English game don't really rate anymore. And lots of English fans are being snobby about this and saying, what are you doing? He is nowhere near one of Europe's elite strikers. Well, let's just hang on a minute, okay? Because you only get to the point of United spending 90-odd million on you if you're quite good at football. Lukaku has got 46 goals in 81 international games. He scored 53 in 110 in the Premier League for Everton, some of them coming off the right wing. He got 17 on loan in 25 for West Brom back in 2012. This is a guy who, if he's happy, if he's healthy, if he's firing, is one of the elite strikers. What I'm saying is don't write players off. Just the fact that he's not had a good couple of years. The reason why you see Inter Milan come in for Lukaku is the same reason why you see Juventus come in for much maligned Maurizio Sarri. One or two bad years in English football doesn't mean you're not an elite level striker. Doesn't mean you're not going to do it in a different league. Diego Forlan, I've just been told by our producer, who's managed to fight his way through the tears to utter two words, is a very good example. Came to United, hopeless. Lovely hair, but couldn't hit a barn door with a machine gun. Goes to Villarreal. Then he goes to Atletico and becomes one of the most dangerous strikers in world football. But the other way that this deal is fascinating is there are other fans looking at Inter Milan desperately scrabbling around, trying to sell Mauro Icardi, one of Europe's real hot property strikers, to make room for Lukaku, and saying, what's going on? This makes no sense. What you've got to remember with these transfer rumours is that there is so much going on behind the scenes, right? It is so much more complex in terms of whether a club wants to hold on to a player than is he good at football? Is he scoring goals? Now, in Icardi's case, his wife, Wanda Nara, is his agent. And it has to be said, she is a very savvy businesswoman. She's a very intelligent person. She's a very good agent. But as we all know, in modern footballing terms, very good agent also equates to very difficult person. I'm not having a pop here. It's simply part of the job description. He has been a nightmare to manage at Inter Milan. She and he as a duo have been very, very difficult. And actually, if you're Inter Milan, you probably get to a point where you think, you know what, mate, you're not worth the trouble. If I can get your release clause, which is rumoured to be slightly north of 100 million English pounds, if I can get that and bring in Lukaku, fine. Don't just look at these guys as footballers. There's a person angle to this as well. There's the off-pitch as well as the on-pitch. And perhaps that's why the Daily Mirror are suggesting that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has told United to sell Paul Pogba to the highest bidder. But the big question now is that true? Don't go anywhere.
This is Love Sport.
It's the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and I, in turn, am with friend of the show, Dom Booth, Manchester United correspondent for the Manchester Evening News. Good evening, Dom. Thank you for joining me. First of all, I'm going to throw a rogue one your way. Rafa Benitez to United. If the wheels start coming off Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's car early in next season, a safe pair of hands, what would you say?
Well, evening, Johnny. You started with a real wild card, haven't you? I'm not sure there's many Manchester United fans who'd be particularly keen on seeing former Liverpool and Chelsea boss Rafa Benitez, lest we forget Old Trafford. So I'm going to put this one pretty low on the probability scalometer.
Okay, yeah, that's a sit down and shut up, Burrow, to begin the interview.
It's a nice version of saying that.
It's a nice version. No, it's what we're here for. My rumours need to be rubbished as well as everyone else's. Harry Maguire, we're now hearing that he is not off to Manchester United. He's rejected United, if the Mirror are to be believed, and he's joining City in an £80 million deal. Two questions here, Dom. One, do you believe that he rejected United? And two, is he going to City?
I'm somewhere in between the two. This is one that we've heard a little bit about the streaming news. We know that both United and City hold an interest in Harry Maguire. I wouldn't particularly go as far as saying that he's dismissed or rejected United, as has been reported. But I don't actually think that he's particularly close to joining City. So it all rests with Leicester. I think there's a huge amount of money that has to be on the table for them to part company with Maguire. So, yeah, I'm going to sit on the fence.
Does it bother you the way the market is going? Because I'm a big fan of Harry Maguire, but the idea of Harry Maguire, the most expensive defender in football history, actually distresses me.
I think it distresses a lot of football fans, doesn't it? But you sort of have to just grit your teeth and say that's just what happens now. And, you know, it's almost like they're trading fantasy football money. You know, when you pay, it's now like a 6 or a 7 for a player. Like, this money is no longer seems real, does it, to the rest of us? So I think you just have to sort of ignore that and admit that's the way the market's going. Harry Maguire isn't the best defender in football history, even if he becomes the most
He's not in the top 50, Dom.
No, he's not. He's nowhere near.
I'm a big fan, but not for me.
Virgil van Dijk, people thought that was 75 million was too much for Virgil van Dijk.
I laughed. I'm willing to admit that I was genuinely amused by that, and I've been left well and truly eating my words. So it just goes to show they know better than we do quite often. We're hearing in The Sun today that United are going to trigger a 12-month contract extension option in Rashford's contract amid fears that he could leave when his current deal expires next summer. Is that true? Good piece of business?
There is a deal in Rashford's contract for an extra year. I think United have that in many players' contracts, and they have occasionally had to take that option. I think they would ideally like to tie Rashford down to a new or longer contract. Obviously, he's very much part of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's plans. Homegrown player, had that purple patch of scoring after Solskjaer replaced Mourinho. United got to be a little bit careful they don't run that too close to the wire if it is just going to be a year's additional contract. I don't think they particularly want anyone sniffing around Rashford, given how many other players they have whose contracts and whose situations are a bit uncertain.
How good is Rashford? Because I'm a big fan of his, but there are still people who question whether he's a striker, whether he's a winger, and when he's really going to break onto the scene as a 20-goal-a-season in the Premier League striker. Do you rate him as one of the great talents?
I rate him highly. I'm not sure he's consistent enough to be called a really great talent. He's still such a young player, isn't he? I mean, he's been around for what seems like years. But yeah, he's only 21 years old. So I think we need to, you know, the next couple of years probably will be what separates Rashford from a very good player to a truly great player. I think he's got it in him. It's pretty fair that they're building around him, given that he's probably one of the best players.
Is that what they're doing, Dom?
Yeah, I think so. I think Solskjaer sees him absolutely integral. Like I said, they tie him to a longer contract if they could. It's just like, it's just frustrating sometimes seeing Rashford, and you know what's there and what can be unlocked. If he had the sort of Harry Kane precision-like consistency, then there'd be no questions. But yeah, like you say, they still remain.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Well, let's continue analysing the United strikers, because we're hearing that Inter are €25 million, that's £22.3 million, shy of United's valuation of Lukaku. That's in Gazzetta dello Sport. How likely is it that Lukaku leaves Old Trafford this summer?
Yeah, I'd say it was more likely than not that he will leave, actually. I think United have every right to hold out for a fair bit of money for a player who, despite criticisms, sometimes unfairly, I think, about his mobility, about his first touch, even his weight has been discussed at times. I think they're
too muscular,
well within their rights,
wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he's a bulky number nine. He's a target man. I mean, I'm not sure those criticisms are entirely without merit, but at the same time, that's the kind of player Lukaku is. He's a big burly striker, isn't he? And I think he's scored a lot of goals in the Premier League for a number of seasons now, so he has to be worth a big chunk of money if United are going to let him go.
And how likely is it that his destination is Italy? I know he's come out in the past and said, listen, I'd quite like to play in Serie A.
Yeah, I think I'd probably rate him at probably a 60% likelihood, if we're going to put a number on it, to move to Italy this summer. I think the other 40 is that he stays at United. I think there's no other option, really.
And what happens if he goes, Dom? Because obviously he was massively expensive when United brought him in. Would they be looking to spend another 80-odd million on a big-name striker?
It's coming back to that money question again, Johnny. I mean, does 80 million even... It's bizarre to say this. Does 80 million even get you a world-class striker anymore? Or do you have to pay 100 million plus?
I think, yeah, you're probably right, 100 million. But let's say they could, right? Would they spend 100 million on... Well, I mean, they could swap effectively with Inter, 100 million for Icardi, say.
Yeah, that has been talked about. I think Icardi leaving Inter has been much talked about over there. I'm not sure they would actually do that. I think they maybe get that money from Lukaku and look to invest it elsewhere in the team, maybe where they're more in need. Centre-backs probably where they need that money, you know?
Yeah, it would be one of the great financial battles, though, wouldn't it? An Ed Woodward versus Wanda Nara contract negotiation.
You're throwing Daniel Levy in there, and you've got it all, haven't you?
That would be the Cold War, I believe, is how that's known. And we're also hearing, in terms of contract negotiations, that there could be a new deal for De Gea. That was in The Sun over the weekend. Are you expecting him to sign?
I'm not, because it's appeared recently that the De Gea situation is sort of rumbling slowly towards its conclusion. He's had a year activated on his contract, like the talk is that Rashford will have. I'm expecting De Gea to maybe stick around for a year and maybe go when his contract ends in 12 months, or, and the this is the nightmare option for United. He leaves, he goes somewhere else. PSG, you're interested. That's on the table as well. So I think United fans would be delighted if he signed a new contract, despite that sort of dodgy end to the season that he had.
Well, I was about to say, if he does sign a new contract, are we dealing with the harsh reality that David De Gea's poor form has done United a massive favour? Because if he'd kept it up the way he was a couple of years ago, he'd be a Real Madrid player by now.
He might be, but let's not forget he didn't join Real Madrid when that was on the cards.
Yeah, only because United turned the fax machine off.
Yeah, well, that was clever, you know. That's a well-worn tactic over the years, isn't it, in the transfer market on deadline day. No, I think, you know, De Gea, form is temporary, class is permanent. I think De Gea has the backing of 90% of United fans, despite that really odd run of form he had towards the end of the season. They think they'd be delighted if he signed.
And the name which isn't going anywhere, Dom, in terms of United transfer rumours, is Paul Pogba. Mirror are saying he is now Real Madrid's number one transfer target. Do you think he's off?
I've been on for 10 minutes, Johnny, and you haven't mentioned Paul Pogba yet.
I've done well, haven't I? Worried.
Yeah, I was really getting concerned that you'd forgotten who he was or something. I don't know on this one. You know, even the great minds in football journalism, I don't think we've really got a clue what's going to happen. All we do know, all we can say for certain, is that United don't want to sell Paul Pogba. They've made that abundantly clear to the media.
So hang on, the Mirror are reporting as well that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has instructed the club to sell Pogba to the highest bidder. Is that rubbish?
Well, what United may be briefing privately and publicly could be two different things. Publicly, right, they're saying they don't want to sell Pogba. Privately, maybe those conversations are going on behind the scenes about what a Pogba sale would generate in terms of funds. Maybe it would get rid of a character who divides opinion at Old Trafford. Who knows? He seems to be making plenty of noises about Real Madrid. So this one, if I had to put money on it, I'd say it's going to go right down to deadline day. We may get something dramatic.
If we deal with a summer where United sell Lukaku and Pogba, what's the reinvestment strategy? Do they go back to the beginning and try and start buying young talent like they've been doing with Daniel James? Do they try and replace with ready-made stars? What are they going to do?
I think, like I said before, the only position where they would be willing to splash out real serious money would be centre-back. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a sale of Lukaku or Pogba, the money be spent on a centre-back. Otherwise, I think you're probably right in saying young players is the way they're going to go. And Aaron Wan-Bissaka looks like he's going to be the next one through the door. And there may be similar players. Declan Rice is of interest to them. James Maddison is of interest to them. People like that.
Dom, it's been wonderful speaking to you as ever. Thanks very much for your time. Dom Booth there, Manchester United correspondent for the Manchester Evening News. And Dom just mentioned that United might be looking to sell stars to fund big, big moves for major centre-half names. Well, how's this for a rumour in today's Daily Star? Manchester United have been told they must cough up a meagre £430 million if they want to sign France centre-back Raphael Varane, who's 26, from Real Madrid. Firstly, I love this in the transfer market. I have always loved this. The inquiry to a club where you go, how much would you like for Raphael Varane? And they go, well, you can have him, but it'll cost you so much money that you will read this email and just pass out. I absolutely adore that as a negotiating strategy from Real Madrid. But another thing we were just discussing is the way the market's going. The way we're probably going to be talking about Harry Maguire as the world's most expensive defender in history. Madness. Maybe we're getting to a point where in 5 years' time, this kind of figure where a club is effectively trying to say no in a jokey way. Well, yeah, go on then. There's the price. Maybe we'll get to a point where clubs just play it. No, £430 million for Varane. Fine. I want to sign him. Fine. Absolutely bonkers. You can't see it happening. And it is just concerning stuff. I want to finish this United chat on Bruno Fernandes. So he's a Portuguese midfielder playing centre mid for Sporting Lisbon. The reason why I put the emphasis on centre mid there is because the man scored 20 league goals this season, right? That's from a relatively deep lying role. That is madness. And we're hearing in The Record, actually, so a Portuguese paper rather than a British rag, that Ed Woodward has been instructed to move quickly and sign Bruno Fernandes by Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Now, I have seen pretty much every top club in England, with the exception of Arsenal, linked to Bruno Fernandes. Spurs linked heavily. Liverpool linked quite heavily. This is the first I've really heard of United. I've heard a little bit of City in there as well. And you wonder, when all of these clubs are linked a bit, and no one's linked consistently in the way that, say, Spurs have been for a move for Ndombele, you wonder whether any of them are actually interested at all. Whether actually what this is it's the journalists who work very, very hard turning the gears of the transfer rumour mill, looking at a player quite reasonably and saying, well, listen, he scored a lot of goals. Let's link him to all the top clubs and he'll probably end up at one of them. Here's one. What if he just stays in Lisbon?
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and it's time to turn our attentions to La Liga because we've talked about Paul Pogba from a United point of view. What about Real Madrid? I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by Richard Fitzpatrick, who's author of El Clasico, Barcelona versus Real Madrid, football's greatest rivalry. This is a man who knows a thing or two about Madrid. Good evening, Richard. Thanks for joining me. We're hearing that Pogba has been made Real Madrid's number one transfer target. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, there's a bit of truth in it. He's definitely Zinedine Zidane's number one transfer target, but the feeling isn't, or the obsession with getting him to Real Madrid isn't shared across the club, particularly with the president, Florentino Perez, and some of the directors.
So are you saying Perez really isn't keen on him?
Yeah, there's the a difference of opinion there because of the cost of that the transfer fee he would command. You know, United are looking at something like 150 million. They might, you know, maybe get him for 130 million, and then you'd have his big wages on top of that. Perez would prefer somebody like Eriksen from Spurs. It's obviously get him at a cheaper price, maybe around 70 million.
It's an interesting one, though, that, Richard, because we know that traditionally Real Madrid are very, very keen on marketable players. They're keen on good-looking players, players who do adverts for, you know, makes of boxers and stuff like that. Pogba, in the modern Instagram world, is surely about as marketable as they come, isn't he?
Yeah, it's a very good point you raise. The thinking is that a lot of it has to do with money. They've already spent over 300 million on players, so they're going to be under pressure to meet financial fair play regulations to be within that 100 million bracket of between incomings and outgoings. So there's pressure there with a big sale or a big purchase of for Pogba.
So do you think FFP is finally working? Do you think it's finally going some way towards levelling the playing field?
It is, and in Real Madrid's case, they've been very prudent in their spending, which has come as a surprise to a lot of people over the last four or five seasons. So Florentino Perez hasn't been practicing that Galactico philosophy. The last Galactico he bought before Eden Hazard this summer was James Rodriguez, and that was 5 years ago.
That went well.
Look what happened there. So they've pulled back from that philosophy. There's been huge pressure because they had such a disastrous campaign last season, their worst in this century. There's been huge pressure to buy in star players to regenerate the squad. Attendances were down by 8,000 a game last season. So there has been a clamour to bring in those players. But Pogba he's not a priority with Perez. In the last 2 years, he's had designs on Neymar. They've cooled a bit. Mbappe is the big fish.
And they want him next summer, don't they?
Yeah, exactly, because it's not doable this summer financially, and PSG won't release him anyway. So they're playing a long game there. But they'll keep that money that we're talking about for Mbappe.
And he is going to end up there, isn't he, Richard?
There's only a handful of, you know, big kind of illustrious clubs in on the continent. PSG is such a soap opera. We'll have to see what happens again. But if they fail again in the Champions League, Mbappe, he's hinted heavily that he's looking at challenges beyond Paris Saint-Germain. So if he wants to fulfil his potential, it's likely he will have to go to one of the aristocrats of European football, and Real Madrid is top of that list. So it's quite possible.
Interesting stuff. And Richard, I'm fascinated by you pointing out that Perez isn't keen on Pogba, because this is the line we're not actually getting anywhere in the English press. We're hearing Real Madrid want Pogba, Pogba wants Real Madrid, so it's effectively a done deal. And you've quite rightly pointed out that it simply is rarely that straightforward. You mentioned that Perez is more keen on Christian Eriksen of Tottenham. How likely is that deal to happen?
Well, they need to get somebody in midfield. They spent all this money, like we mentioned, 300 million or the guts of it, on players, but they're all attacking players and a couple of defenders. They've done nothing with their midfield, so they need somebody in to give that midfield a kick start. So somebody like Eriksen has been on the table for a while. They've fancied him. So a player like of his quality would do a job.
If Eriksen does go, Richard, some outlets in the English press are saying that either Asensio or Dani Ceballos could go in the other direction to Tottenham. How likely is that?
Yeah, that's possible. Definitely, it's more likely Dani Ceballos than Marco Asensio. Marco Asensio is the golden child of Spanish, or definitely in Real Madrid terms, they're very keen on him. Zidane doesn't believe in Ceballos, even though he's again having a great European Under 21 Championship. He came from Real Betis two seasons ago, but he scored two goals in his full debut in La Liga. But Zidane just never had faith in him, so he's behind the pecking order at the moment. They have Luka Modric, the Ballon d'Or winner, in that position, and he's not going to unseat Modric next season.
No, you'd be surprised.
So they'll happily sell Ceballos or make him a make-weight for that deal with Eriksen.
Fascinating stuff. And Richard, just finally, of course, Rafa Benitez, it's been announced today, won't be staying at Newcastle. I think it's fair to say he's already had his chance as Real Madrid boss. But could you see him moving back to La Liga?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, he's held in very high regard in Spain because of that incredible success with Valencia. You can imagine, you have the big two in Spain, Madrid and Real Madrid. So to win two league titles with Valencia was an incredible feat. And obviously he won the Champions League then again with Liverpool. He's a good coach. He would be very highly regarded in the country. So yeah, that would be possible. I'm just thinking off the top of my head about vacancies at the moment. It's like Sevilla is already filled with Julian Lopetegui, so it might be.
Might have to wait.
Just wait a
month or two. Someone will lose their job, and at that point, Rafa can pounce. Richard, lovely to speak to you. Thank you so much for your time. Richard Fitzpatrick there, author of El Clasico, Barcelona versus Real Madrid. A man who knows a thing or two about Madrid, who issued some fairly concerning words for Tottenham Hotspur. I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line by Jamie Brown of the Daily Hotspur. Good evening, Jamie. We were hearing in the press today that Pogba's off to Real Madrid, so you're safe. Eriksen's staying. But I've just been told by a real expert in all things Madrid that actually Perez doesn't like him and would rather have Christian Eriksen. Does that worry you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a strange situation with Eriksen. A lot of the talk seems to be that that Real Madrid kind of want Pogba ahead of Christian Eriksen, and that certainly seems the case with Zidane, which to me doesn't make too much sense because they are sort of different players. So Yes, it does sound like Florentino Perez wants Eriksen, but for me, I think that's the only place that Christian Eriksen goes. I think his sort of his new challenge plea was for Real Madrid, but look, I can see them still going for him. Paul Pogba's going to cost a huge amount of money. Christian Eriksen potentially a cheaper alternative, obviously given his age and contract situation. So I think this whole saga of Paul Pogba and Christian Eriksen to Real Madrid is certainly going to go on for a while.
Absolutely. We did, however, get some better news from a Spurs perspective from Richard Fitzpatrick there. He was saying it's not impossible that Asensio or Ceballos could go to Spurs as a make-weight in that deal. Mm. Would you have either of them?
Asensio, I mean, it's obviously a very talented player and still very young. So I think he'd certainly be a player I'm interested in. But Dani Ceballos seems really talented. I think he's having a fantastic tournament at the Euros at the moment, the under-21 Euros. So he certainly looks like a player I'd be very interested in Spurs bringing in. But I think it'd be great if we can get in one of those two. I know that also Giovanni Lo Celso from the Liga, another player that's been linked to, who looks like a very talented player and someone that could potentially replace Eriksen. And I think that he offers you versatility as well, because he seems to be a guy that can play number 8, number 10. So I think any three of those options to potentially replace Eriksen if we have to would certainly be good.
Do you think it's a coincidence that so many of Spurs' transfer targets are playing in La Liga?
Well, potentially. I think, you know, Pochettino's obviously worked in that league before. He knows a lot about it. Just a lot of them make sense. I think these are all players that Pochettino likes to work with. The younger ones, I know, Asensio and Ceballos and Lo Celso are young, so they're kind of the sort of players that Pochettino likes. Maybe technically they're very talented as well. And obviously Christian Eriksen is one of the best technical players in the Premier League. So we certainly need to be getting in someone who can, you know, is fantastic passing and Liga is renowned for having a real wealth of very talented players in terms of passing. So I don't think it's too much of a surprise that we've been linked with La Liga players.
No, fair enough. And of those three, of Lo Celso, Ceballos and, of course, Asensio, who would you like most?
For me, I think Lo Celso. I mean, certainly he's going to cost a lot of money. I think the talks are around £60 to £70 million. So that's for me, I kind of only seen that deal happening if Eriksen goes, because I think there's certainly other deals that are going to cost us a lot of money. Tanguy and Ndombele, who we're probably going to prioritise the money going elsewhere. But I think Asensio, for me, I don't think it's a realistic transfer. I know he's got a €700 million buyout clause, so that kind of, and for any fee, I don't see that realistically happening. Dani Ceballos, again, as a player I really do like. I think he's potentially a guy that we could bring in without having to offload someone. I think he's more around the £40 to £50 million price range. And of course, Real Madrid have to sell because, they've spent almost £300 million already. So they're going to have slight troubles with FFP. So potentially Dani Ceballos, I think, would be good. But for me, I think the guy I'd like to bring the most is Chelsea.
Well, from that FFP point of view, is the secret now for Levy just to whack such an expensive asking price on Christian Eriksen that Real Madrid legally are incapable of paying it?
Well, it's interesting with Eriksen. It's whether Spurs decide, look, we now need to move this squad on, and whether we do want to get rid of Eriksen to potentially bring in funds, to bring in players like Lo Celso, who's younger and maybe, you know, he's going to give us a few more years other than Eriksen. So it's whether we want to keep him. I think that certainly Levy's going to ask for a huge amount of money. It's seemingly that he's going to be asking for around about £80 million for him, which is already a lot of money, given Christian Eriksen's already in his last year. So I think that, you know, it was very well known that Daniel Levy is a very tough negotiator, so I'm sure that he'll get as much out of Real Madrid as possible.
Yeah, we can only hope so. And just as a final one, Jamie, Tanguy Ndombele, we're hearing from France Football today that PSG have pulled out of that particular race. Is that it? Is he coming to Tottenham?
Yeah, well, it's all looking very good. I think he's the one name Spurs fans all desperate for now. I think we know that central midfield is the big key issue for us to kind of go and find one. And he just ticks all the boxes in terms of his skill set. He's a very powerful midfielder, fantastic technically. He's certainly a player we need at Spurs. And of course, there's Juventus seemingly going for Adrian Rabiot as well, so a central midfielder from PSG. So it is looking good, and we do seem to be in the clear. So I do feel very positive about this one.
How likely are we talking, Jamie, out of 10?
Do you know what? At the moment, I'm going to say 8. I do think it's close, and it's amazing because you know, this is a £70 million transfer, and for Spurs, that's certainly unheard of, given our transfer records, £40 odd billion. So we'll certainly be smashing that. But you know, I've said it all along. This is the summer that Spurs need to capitalise and go big in the transfer market. And Ndombele would certainly be a massive statement for us.
Wonderful stuff. Well, Jamie, lovely to speak to you as ever. Thank you for your time. Jamie Brown there of the Daily Hotspur. Confident man. The highest rated centre midfielder in European football. How likely is it that he's coming to Spurs? 8 out of 10. Go on then.
This is Love.
The transfer rumour mill here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and we are joined in the studio by Love Sport's very own Pet Geordie. He's a serious Newcastle fan, and for one night only, and I suspect the rest of the month, week, year, he's heartbroken. Laurie Callas, Rafa Benitez is leaving your club. How on earth have we reached this point?
Well, they're the words of however many Newcastle fans you can name, however many you know, they're all thinking the same thing. John Gibson, who's written for the Chronicle and various Newcastle papers for 53 years, said in all his time covering Newcastle, it's the lowest point.
Really?
Really, really. And I guess there have been some low times. I mean, that's not including the relegations.
I mean, you signed Celestine Babayaro.
We signed Jolan Boomsong. Yeah, no, you're right. And I just think that this could be the turning point now for some fans. There's been two schools of thought for a long time at Newcastle. Some who are kind of tolerant and just, it's like, oh, Ashley's there, but we've got to support the team. And other people who, anything that's remotely commercial involved with the club, buying shirts, buying tickets, renewing season tickets, they've just rejected. And now I think a lot of fans will be moving to that latter point of view. And I really think we'll see the boycotts actually take effect from next season.
So how many fans do you think will be saying this is the last straw and mean it? Stop going.
I genuinely do think a lot of fans, I'd count myself in that bracket before. I think it's better to support the team, you know, tolerate Ashley as much as we don't like him. But I think, you know, this was the one chance that we've had during Ashley's reign to really kick on. You know, we had that fluke season under Pardew, but the real chance where you thought that we were going to be able to kick on and make a real difference, and he's just thrown it away by kind of refusing to give Rafa what he wants.
Do you think this is as straightforward as Mike Ashley being unwilling to spend a bit of money?
Well, the thing is that it's hard to tell exactly what's been the last straw. Even as late as yesterday, we were hearing that, you know, the people at the club were confident that Rafa might stay, that they might be able to do something this week. And a large part of what he's not happy to spend money on, Ashley, is not just players. It's the kind of club infrastructure. The training ground is absolutely ancient at Newcastle. He's not been able to make all the changes that he wants to the academy system. And I think it's putting money in at other areas of the club as well as transfers. I mean, you know, he's hardly backed himself up on transfers either, actually, making that one signing, the record signing in January after 15 years. But at the same time, the real issue, I think, for Rafa, from what I hear, is that he wasn't willing to put money into other areas of the club.
So what happens now? You've got to gradually come to terms with the fact that he's left you and that Rafa is going. But who comes in to replace him? Are we going to look at an incredibly depressing, safe Premier League pair of hands like a Mark Hughes?
Well, I really hope not. I mean, our first five fixtures of the season, we play Arsenal, Tottenham and Liverpool
Good
in those five games.
Good luck.
And it's hard not to just be really depressed about it, to be honest. I mean, I would not be surprised if in a year's time we are a championship club. But then again, if we think back to when Rafa came, I think that was one of the most surprising things Ashley's ever done, actually, was bring Rafa in after that torrid half of the season under, or three quarters of the season under Steve McLaren. That seemed like an inspired, one of the only things that Mike Ashley's done that a lot of the fans would get behind. And if I'd love it if he surprised us, if someone came in.
Ancelotti.
Yeah. Well, I tell you who, this is a bit of an off-the-wall pick, but someone I was thinking about was Domenico Tedesco, the ex-Schalke manager. He's kind of remembered in this country for losing 7-0 to Man City this season.
Perfect fit for Newcastle, then.
But the season before, he led them to a second-place finish in the Bundesliga, which is really impressive. And to be fair to him, he lost Leon Goretzka to Bayern,
Sane.
Max Meyer to Palace, Tilo Kehrer to PSG, all in the same transfer window. So you could say that how was he ever expected to replicate that second place finish? And he's 33 years old, and I just think that I'd much rather the club take a risk on someone who might play exciting football, have a bit of energy about them, than, I mean, Mark Hughes is the obvious example, you can list them. But if he wants any fans to have the remotest bit of energy in backing Newcastle United next season, he has to think outside the box. I mean, we've been hearing rumours of Avram Grant today. I mean, is there a
Portugal's finest? Not Portugal, Portsmouth is finest.
Yeah, I think he's Israeli, isn't he?
Israeli, yeah, but former Portsmouth boss.
And Chelsea,
of course. Fabulously awful at Chelsea. These are depressing names, frankly, and there have been negative responses to the news from within the club and without it, with lots of people saying, listen, you're getting relegated. Is that now the most likely scenario?
I think it's relatively likely.
Really?
As much as I hate to say it. Salomon Rondon, hugely important last season. Not only in the goals that he scored, but the way that he held the ball up and kind of defended from the front, which is obviously a huge part of the way Rafa played. It's 16.5 million, supposedly, as release clause, which Ashley, I think, is unlikely to pay on someone who's pushing 30. As well as that, I hear that various people who are in the know suggest that without Rafa Benitez, there is literally zero chance of us signing Rondon on a permanent deal.
Really?
That was a deal that he wanted. It was a deal that Mike Ashley didn't want. So I think that's unlikely. Iosi Perez could easily leave now. We've heard rumours earlier in the season that he wants to go back to Spain. And quite frankly now, why would he stay? He's been, you know, a real bright spark in the second half of both of the previous two seasons.
It's like watching a man pack up his life into boxes and slowly walk out.
I think the worst thing about it is that, you know, we've almost been in denial for the last three seasons because something about the Ashley reign has gone right and we've had Rafa as a consolation and to get behind, and he invested in the passion and kind of bought into the city and everything that comes with it in a way that Ashley just never has. And now that he's gone, and it was almost so predictable, it's just thoroughly depressing.
I'm sorry, mate. We'll end with a transfer rumour, which is not one that will bring joy to your heart. TYC Sport reporting that Miguel Almiron is a target for Real Madrid. He won't be happy that Rafa, the man who signed him, is gone. How likely is he to go?
Well, yeah, of course, Twitter's going crazy with the Santiago Muñez.
Yeah, parallels from parallels, the goal franchise.
The goal exclamation point. But I spoke to Roberto Rojas from BeIN, who is a Paraguayan journalist who was very influential in...
Was this for professional reasons or were you just nervous?
No, I was speaking to him. He's out of the Copa America and I was asking him, I said, you know, is there any truth in this? One word reply, no. It's also not been backed up by the Spanish press. But having said that, there is a suggestion that the asking price would be 35 million. Newcastle seem to like to sell players for 35 million. Andy Carroll, Moussa Sissoko. So maybe there's a bit of history that backs it up.
Surely not. Laurie Callis, great to chat to you. Wonderful stuff. On a depressing day for Newcastle United, maybe there's some hope. If they can get a new gaffer in to encourage a new era and hold on to the likes of Almiron, the transfer rumour mill could do them some favours. Join me next time.
Yeah. Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.